morning. Yes, I am looking too with anticipation on what a day that will be. But until we get there, we have a task to do. And He has given us gifts so that we can complete the task that He has given us to do. And so we begin to unwrap our spiritual gifts. And we'll be looking at three gifts this morning. This is a great one to take notes on. I do have to say a disclaimer. This is mainly a fellow named John Ryland's material, and I enjoy presenting it to you. I get excited about what he has. I think it's very insightful. I've added a few bits of my own wisdom here and there, but for the bulk of it, it's Dan Ryland's material. So before we get too far into it, let's take a minute and again to ask God to bless it this morning. Dear God, we come before you as we prepare to partake of spiritual food this morning. God, we do take time to bless our physical food, and now we take a minute to bless the spiritual food that you have prepared for us. Pray that it would nourish us, that it would fulfill us, that it would enable us to complete the task that you have given to us. We humbly accept this gift from you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we could maybe shut the middle lights off to help view the PowerPoint, and give me 1 second while I click a few times here to get ready. And I think we're good. If you want to throw that up there. There we go. Unwrapping your spiritual gifts. We'll be looking at three spiritual gifts this morning. Now, as we begin this study of spiritual gifts, specifically this morning, as we look at the three separate gifts, if you got a piece of paper or put a note in your mind, if you think of someone who displays this gift during this time this morning of the three gifts, if you can think of someone, write it down or log it in your memory. And afterwards, after church, I'd like for you to find that person and shake their hand and greet them and say, I see this gift in you. And it doesn't have to be their primary gift. It doesn't have to be their top three. But if you see evidences and qualities of someone here with one of these three gifts this morning as we look at it, take a minute and bless them by saying, you know, I see this gift in you. So think about that as we go through our study this morning of spiritual gifts, unwrapping the spiritual gifts. And again, we're going to go look at Romans 12, 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now again, something to remember from the first look at the introduction to spiritual gifts. The gifts that we're unwrapping, where there's 24 approximately, again we're covering three today, these are not your complete, these are not the complete gift that you receive. The gift that you actually receive is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of helps and of leadership and hospitality that we're going to look at this morning, that's not your gift of the Spirit. Your gift is the Holy Spirit. Leadership, hospitality, and helps is how the Holy Spirit shows itself through you. Because your gifts can change and develop and mature and grow, but the Spirit in you stays the same. So it's important to remember that as we look at these gifts. The gift is the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit is shown to others through you is through these spiritual gifts. So, as we begin to look at spiritual gifts, there's a few things here in the beginning This is just to kind of get your blood pumping and make your brain think a little bit this morning as you're seated there. What can we learn about the character of God as we study His gifts? And we could say His gifts to us. Just a few points here. Number one, God is generous. Something we learn about the character of God. He provides more ability for you with your gifts than you can do by yourself. The ability of helps and hospitality and leadership. Those are things that God gives you, enables you to do more than just you are without His gift of the Holy Spirit in you. Another thing we learn is God is creative. And we can look outside at the many wonderful creation that God has created, but also in that He designed all of these different gifts for all of these different purposes to edify His body. And God is also industrious. God has a plan. God has a plan for you and I, and He gives us tools to complete the work that He has planned for us. God has a plan. It is not just happenstance. So those are some real quick things that we can learn, again, about God and His character as we begin the study of the gifts. And so we begin to unwrap the gifts of helps. The definition is the distinctive ability to work with and support other Christian ministry efforts. This is the definition of the gift of helps. The ability to work with and support other Christian ministry efforts. In Acts 9:36 at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas, and this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. And in Acts 9, she died, and they brought all these things that Tabitha made, and they were clothes, and all the things that she did for the saints, and how much of a helper she was, and she didn't stay dead. It's a good story to read later on for you this afternoon, but she didn't stay dead. But anyways, she again displayed the gift of helps. In Philippians 2:25, Epaphroditus, yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, a fellow worker, a soldier, but your messenger and one who ministered to my need. That's a great helper. What a great picture of a helper, my brother, a fellow worker, a soldier, one who gets in line, gets in rank, and helps a large group accomplish a task. And also a messenger, and one who actually ministered to a need. Again, a great definition of one that has the gifting of helps. God puts this desire to help others in some of you. And I want you to see that gift, it's from God. Because some of you have this inner need that if you see something, you're gonna help them. And sometimes spouses aren't always on the same page, and one spouse looks at the other and says, "Why are you helping them?" Well, it's just in me. and I think it's good for us as spouses to look and say, you know, maybe that they're always helping people because that's how God made them. So we may not be able to help it. That was a pun. But yeah, we may not be able to help helping other people. The purpose of the gift of helps: to enable other Christians to be more effective and fruitful in ministry through the accomplishment of practical and necessary tasks. That's great. I like that definition. To enable other Christians, you're enabling others to be more effective. Not necessarily you. But the person with the gift of helps is enabling others to be more effective and fruitful in ministry through accomplishment of practical and necessary tasks. And evidences that you may have the gift of helps. So, just some evidences here. You enjoy helping others complete specific tasks. You do not need much public recognition. You may have the gift of helps. Other people give you opportunity to help them. If other people come to you with opportunity, they may see that you have that. You possess a servant's spirit. You tend to be available and reliable if you have the gift of helps. And I had to take a little bit of an inward look because I do enjoy helping people. This is not one of my top three gifts, but I enjoy helping people. But I must admit, in order to help more people, I need to slow down a little bit. Just me. But these are the evidences that you may have the gift of helps. Now, each of the gifts, as we break them down with helps and leadership and hospitality, each of them have cautions. And I'm going to call these cautions warnings. And some that have a lot of great things also have a lot of warnings. And so we're going to look at the warnings to the gifts of helps. Warnings are solely for those who have that specific gift. So when we get to the warnings and you don't have helps, then plug your ears because you're going to see probably some of their faults easily because you're not them. So the warnings are for those that actually have the gift of helps and gift of leadership and the gift of hospitality as we get there. We who do not have the gift discussed can easily see others' faults. We who do not have the gift discussed need to concentrate on the strengths that the gifts bring and not the weakness. That's important. That we concentrate on the positive aspects of the gifts that God gives and not the little things that upset us and bug us about the gift. And we have a job again this morning. Remember, we are to put names with the strengths. Don't put names with the weakness. We're encouraging those this morning here that have the gift, again, of helps and leadership and hospitality. Warnings. The first warning under the gift of helps, thinking that helps is a lowly gift. The most predominant giftings are helps and service. And underneath that warning of thinking that helps is just a lowly gift, there's some encouragement. The gift of helps brings glory to God. You see, being a servant and a helper, I believe, is one of the things most cherished by God the Father. He says the first shall be last. And Jesus Christ displayed the servanthood to its fullest while he was here on earth. And so please don't be discouraged if you're only a helper. Another thing to encourage you is being a helper or having the gift of helps calls for maturity in you as a believer. You see, in order for you to help someone do their best, you need to lay aside your own agenda in order for you to be a true helper. Encouraging the helpful again. We exalt God when we do not receive the praise. When we are helping others, we do not receive credit for what is done. You know, it's usually the idea that actually gets the credit. You know what I mean? Not the people who complete the idea. So again, let me just say that the thing that I use at work, a hammer do, that's the bad, the oldest joke there is in the carpentry circuit. Would you get me that hammer do? And someone says, well, what's a hammer do? I say, well, it pounds nails. But it's just a hammer until someone picks it up and builds something with it. You know? The gift of helps is able to pick something up and do something with it. And again, to encourage those that think helps is just a lowly gift, helps is a cherished gift that is to be praised because you were chosen and gifted to serve the King in such a way. And so we continue on with the warnings. Thinking helps is a lowly gift is the first warning. The second warning is missing the big picture. If you have the gift of helps and you think, when I'm pushing the broom after church, just sweeping the floor, that this is just kind of ridiculous. You know, everyone else got to go home and eat dinner and I'm still pushing the broom. Now, that's the gift of helps. When you're the last person in the kitchen after fellowship meal, washing the last pot, and thinking, no, I should be home by now. No, that is displaying the gift of helps. And the gift of helps is important. The last person out, turning the lights off and locking the door. The first person here, turning the lights on and unlocking everything for us, displaying the gift of helps, and it's important. So again, try to think about the big picture. One of another warnings with the gift of helps is the inability to say no to the hurt of those closest to you. And people that have a heart to help people often get buried in trying to help and often end up helping outside of their closest friends and family and kind of get pulled into helping. And it's a danger. It's a warning. Sometimes you need to say no. This was so good. I found this in material this morning, and it needs more attention than that, but here it goes. A need does not equal a calling. And this is for everyone in ministry. This is for those that volunteer. Just because you see a need, it does not equal a calling. Take a minute to sink that in, soak that in. It's not an excuse not to do anything. But a need is not necessarily a calling at all. Change of scenery. Take a breath. Unwrapping the gift of leadership. Leadership is influence. A definition of leadership. A gift of leadership is the ability to influence others according to the big picture, purpose, mission, or plan. Great definition. I had to think of the business world as I was preparing this. This is good stuff across the board. Looking and unwrapping again the book of the gift of leadership was brought to my mind here through this material, Nehemiah. The whole book is all about leadership. The whole thing. If you're a professional and you want to gain insight on leading people, the book of Nehemiah has it. He has strategy. He has study. He has preparation. He has motivation through opposition. He has teamwork. Nehemiah models leadership. And specifically in Nehemiah 2, 11 and 12, it says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And then I arose at night and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." That whole thing is dripping with leadership. He had men come with him. He had men follow him. And he got up in the night. He was the leader. And he told no one what God put in his heart. He had vision. He had vision. And the purpose of leadership, to direct and enhance the efforts of others in a positive way so the kingdom of God is advanced. To direct and enhance the efforts of others. Again, that's the efforts of others. And as I studied this, I saw helps as being very similar. Helps was helping others, right, complete their tasks. Leading in the root word of leadership here is leading and lead. Leading is helping from the front. Helps is helping from the back. They're all gifts of the Spirit. And one should not outweigh the other. Leadership is helping from the front. Helps is kind of helping from the back. But both are enhancing others' efforts in a positive way so that the kingdom of God is advanced. Evidence of the gift of leadership: you have significant influence over other people. You are asked to serve in leadership capacities. You see the big picture easily and clearly. Decision-making comes naturally to you. Others desire your opinion. You want to change the world to make it better. Qualities, again, of a leader. You are not afraid to take a risk. You speak with confidence and conviction. And these are the great attributes of the gift of leadership. But as I looked at these, I had to think of the parable of the gift of talents. And to the one that was given 10, he was required a lot. And there is a pretty stern list of warnings for those in a leadership role. And it's good to go through this. And again, those that connect with leadership, these warnings are for you. If you don't have the gift of leadership, you know, plug your ears, whatever. Kind of tone out a little bit. But these warnings are for those that display leadership characteristics and abilities. The first warning is a prideful attitude. This is something that a leader may actually have to work at every day. And I can say a true spiritual leader must constantly remember where this gift comes from and learn how to hold leadership humbly. To learn how to hold leadership humbly. And the second warning is a tendency to look down on others who are not leaders. Another warning is misusing power. Using people for personal goals and objectives. These are all warnings and, again, pitfalls to being a leader. Not appreciating people with helping gifts. You see, in leadership, you would often dwell on the task and if a task is accomplished, not necessarily who and how and what that it was completed. You just, as a leader, want to know if it's done. That can be a pitfall. To make sure that leaders appreciate those that help accomplish the task. As again, the reminder is, you as a leader cannot do much without the rest of us. That's important. Moving on to the next gift. The gift of hospitality. Now again, hopefully in your mind you're logging someone's name that you're able to encourage after the service. Unwrapping the gift of hospitality. The definition. The distinctive ability to make people feel at home, welcomed and cared for, and part of the group. That's a great, I really like these definitions that he has. The distinctive ability to make people feel at home, and not just at home, but to feel welcomed. And not just at home and welcome, but to feel cared for. And not just at home and welcome and cared for, but to feel a part of the group. They are special people, and they have the gift of hospitality. And there's a difference between being hospitable and hospitality. As many of us are hospitable, we rush around and we make sure that when we invite somebody over, we have people in mind, we invite them, and we prepare, and the place is spotless, and it is clean, and everything is ready, and then they come, and then you can relax. That's being hospitable. People with the gift of hospitality, they want you to come in. They want you to sit in their chair. They want you to take your shoes off. They want you to relax. They want you to feel like it's your home. It's a little different than being hospitable. And some of you have that gift that are able to have welcome people and have them feel relaxed in your home. Unwrapping the gift of hospitality. Again, in Acts here, talking about Lydia 16, verse 14. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. And again, those with the with the gift of hospitality can just pull you in, even if it's just a little bit of cookies and milk. You kind of get drawn into their house. You can't really say no, because they have the gift of hospitality, of drawing you in. And the purpose of the gift of hospitality, this is one of the purposes, the beginning part, is to create an inviting atmosphere that encourages people to be themselves and to be valued as part of the body. And that's a part of it. To the next level, again, this is part of your gifting of hospitality, to the next level, it's to nurture Christian fellowship to a deeper level. And this is where you, with the gift of hospitality given by the Holy Spirit, this is where you receive fulfillment. When what you provide brings deeper fellowship. Another thing to note here, the gift of hospitality is not exclusive. The gift of hospitality is inclusive. Hospitality wants to include everyone. Being hospitable, you invite who you want to invite. The gift of hospitality opens the door to every person, no matter what age or social class or where you're from or your background. Being or having hospitality opens the door. Hospitality includes everyone. And evidence of the gift of hospitality, if you're thinking, hey, maybe I have this gift, let's check it out. You desire to put a Starbucks here in the kitchen of church. This is how much you love fellowship. This is you. You get excited when people stand around and rub shoulders and talk and have coffee. And if this is something you get excited about, the evidence of the gift of hospitality. If new people tend to migrate towards you, you might have the gift of hospitality. You give without expecting in return. You experience joy when others feel at home and are cared for. That's something that you experience joy. There's something to note here, if I step away for just a second. As I've thought about and looked at the gifts and the many ways that God has gifted you all here, when you work inside your gift, no one needs to tell you that you did a good job, because it's confirmed in your spirit, you know. I enjoy teaching, and that was one of my top gifts. And so if things go well in a Sunday school class, nobody needs to tell me. I kind of know. You know, that's part of the way I'm wired, you know. And if you have hospitality and you have a great social gathering and things go well and people are cared for and they feel at home, and nobody needs to tell you, hey, that was wonderful, because you're convinced and blessed in your spirit that God has used the gift in you to promote His kingdom. And so again, as we look at all these gifts, the ones that are given to you, when you work inside them, God confirms it in you. That gift. So again, the evidences of the gift of hospitality. You love a party, but you love giving one even more. Evidences, again, of hospitality. You eagerly open your home to others. And it's such a wonderful gift. I mean, hospitality. It's just a warm, fuzzy gift. And yet, there's still three warnings. Three warnings to the gift of hospitality. Which I thought, well, what could be wrong with the gift of hospitality? Warnings, the feeling of self-pity. You know, I just invite people over. I don't do anything that big. I'm not really a missionary. Well, you actually might be a missionary as you open your home. The feeling of self-pity, that it's a small thing. Being able to open your home and welcome people and care for them and make them feel at home is not a small thing. It's something that honestly quite a few people struggle to do. It's a special gift. Another warning is overcommitting yourself and again neglecting those closest to you. kind of reminds me of the gift of helps. A warning to those that have the gift of hospitality to remember those closest to you, your friends and your family. A warning again is viewing your ministry as just an entertainer. All I do is just, you know, serve food and make people laugh. No, it's so much more than that. It really is. We have, you can turn that down now. We have opened those three gifts for you this morning. And we've taken a look, an in-depth look at the scriptural basis. We've taken a look at the definition. We've taken a look at the purpose. We've taken a look at the evidences. And we've taken a somber look at the warnings of those that may display these three gifts of helps, of leadership, and hospitality. And again, the idea is this morning that you would, based on the positive attributes of these three gifts, that you would have someone in mind that you could find after this dismissal, that you could shake their hand, that you could bless them and say, I see the gift of this in you, brother, and I see the gift of this in you, sister. That we would be able to encourage each other, that we would be able to build up God's kingdom, that it would spurn us on to further serve Him. Let's pray. Dear God, we are grateful for the way that You have blessed us this morning. God, help us to see that it's not just happenstance, that there is a desire in us to help others. God, help us to see the ability to lead others as a gift from You. God, help us to be encouraged in our hospitality, that we're able to see that, God, it is truly a blessing that You give some here that gift to be used for Your honor and for Your glory. And it is not a small thing, God. Encourage them this morning with the gift of hospitality. God, we are thankful that You are a diverse God, that You enjoy creativity. We are so thankful, God, that you are not in just a small box, but You are so much more than what we can grasp and imagine. And we are humbled to receive the gifts that You have given us. Help us to use Your gifts to further Your kingdom. Help us to use our gifts with a humble spirit, with a servant spirit. May we encourage others in this place as they serve You in the way, God, that You have made them. And we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.